KXRN-LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member-supported
KXFM on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
It's straight up at 8 o'clock. It's the Mornings with Ed Show, and welcome to the program. As you know, this morning we've been keeping an eye on the Hill as there's a new round of stimulus about to be delivered. We're hoping, and to explain that to us and what might be in the package, Laureen Gilbert, President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. She's the winner of the 2020 Silver Stevie Award for Women in Business. Also the winner of the 2020 Silver Tongue Award here at the radio station. Just a winner all the way around. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's been a great year for you.
It has been. As I look back on the year, it's like, wow, yeah. A lot's happened. And some good news to end the year with, I think we've got a bipartisan deal coming forward. Do you want to hear some of the details?
I do. We've been wondering all morning long. I would love to hear the details you know about.
Okay, so we've got additional PPP of $300 billion, specifically designated to those companies that have had a 30% decline or more in any one quarter during the year. So what does that make you think of? That makes you think of restaurants. That makes you hear of your hair salon, you know, the places that just have not been able to open and stay open. So very exciting there. We also have the clarification of Congress's intent, which was tax deductibility for those expenses of the PPP. That's huge because as business owners have been doing their year-end tax planning, they have been quite surprised to hear that they weren't going to be able to deduct those expenses. So in this legislation that we think is going to go through, it looks like they would be able to deduct those expenses this year. That's huge.
There'd
also be liability protection for employers, which of course we heard was a on the wish list on the Republican side. It looks like that is in the package. Unemployment, the extension of $300 a week through the end of April. So that is great for those people who are still unemployed. The SNAP program, an increase of 15% on those SNAP benefits. Child care, there's $10 billion. Agriculture, $13 billion. CDFIs, $10 billion. Postal Service, $10 billion. Rental assistance, money for repayment for a rental that has not been paid. That money would go to states in the form of $25 billion.
Okay, can I stop? Can I stop you there for a second?
Sure.
Now that also includes an increase for food stamps. Am I crazy there? Are they including both lumped in together?
Yeah, okay. The SNAP program is the that's called SNAP now.
Okay.
And there's an increase of 15% there.
Okay.
Student loan forbearance through April of 2021. There's money for broadband. There's money. There's $82 billion for education. So there's a lot of money in this deal, and I think it looks really good. It definitely looks, I'll tell you, my assessment is it looks very bipartisan.
Right. It looks like both sides had to do a lot of compromising here.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
We haven't, as of yet, heard of any direct stimulus payments to individuals, right?
I didn't see that.
Okay, that's not part of it.
I didn't see that.
And let me ask you about liability protection. And you and I had spoken about this a couple of weeks ago where it wasn't that great an idea, where you can't sue your employer for, like, for instance, the meatpacking plants in the Central Valley here, where a lot of those became the hubs of the infection. So those employees at the meatpacking plants would be unable to sue the meatpackers?
Well, I haven't seen the details, first of all, on the liability protection. I'm just hearing that it's in there.
Okay.
So I haven't read that part of it to see the wording of the proposed legislation.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, you know, I understand what you're saying, Ed, but from the viewpoint of an employer, of which I am one, I cannot control what employees do when they're not at work. I can create a safe workplace for people to work in. You know, we're doing everything right. But when employees are out and about after hours, how can I be then, you know, responsible for that? And I think that's really the intent there, is to make sure that employers aren't being held responsible when employees might be out and about doing things that they can't control.
Right, right. That makes sense. Okay, and we're hoping that this gets done before the end of the week, before Friday, right? We're hoping
I think it'll be done before the end of the year. And I do think now that I've seen it in writing, I mean, that means that it's going to be out there for a vote soon. So, okay, you know, I haven't heard on the exact voting date, but I know that they want this done very quickly.
Well, it's good to know that help is on the way. It really is. It's good to know that help is on the way. And light, you know what? I heard a great line this weekend that there is light at the end of the tunnel, but it's only illuminated how crappy the tunnel is. So I'm glad we're seeing the light shine a little bit here. I got a question to ask you about 2020 and leading into 2021, if that's okay.
Sure.
It seems that as you and I have been talking over the past year, that fear was the driving force for investing during 2020. And as we all know, that scared investors like to focus on safe bets, favoring growth stocks over value stocks. Are you expecting this trend to continue through the summer when we'll have more certainty about the virus and the vaccine and the economic impact?
Well, we've already seen a shift. So we saw a rotation from growth to value.
Right.
And we also saw the rotation from large to small, both of which we've been talking about recently before it happened. That shift started happening right before the election and then speeded up after the election, mainly around the vaccine announcement, because that was the same time when the vaccine was announced and the idea of the economy reopening. So I think that rotation will continue. I think that doesn't mean that you dump all your growth stocks, but it means that for investors who have not had enough in value because they were just not seeing it go anywhere, I would say you can't ignore value right now. And we see quite a bit of opportunity in the value space. Same with, like we had been talking about, with small mid-sized companies. So definitely I see that as a trend that will continue into 2021.
Okay. And I just as a casual observer, I noticed that a lot of the safe bets are no longer going to be buoyed by the stimulus or the Fed actions. So you have confidence in moving toward value stocks now in the future.
I do. I think once again, like I said, I'd say there needs to be balance. You don't want to give up all your growth positions, but I'd say value is where the value is right now, and value is not in growth.
Okay. I want to ask you about two different companies headed in two completely different directions. Let's talk about the company headed downward, Exxon. Once the world's most valuable company, they've been losing money for the first time in decades. They got kicked out of the Dow after 92 years. Mm-hmm. What's going on over there with its board of directors? And is that a case where a house cleaning is in order?
It's a great question, Ed, and it's really quite sad when you look at a company that has had such a great history in so many ways, but has not been able to move forward with the times and with, you know, what investors are concerned about. So investors specifically, as you've heard, there is an activist investor called Engine One and has gotten a lot of support from CalSTRS. And when we look at what they are requesting from Exxon is they want them to really look at their spending so that they can get the dividend back to where they want it to be for investors' sake. They want them to start looking at clean energy, and they want them to look at executive pay. And so, once again, these are the things that that activist investors are interested in. Now, compare that company with another sad story, which is GE. But GE, on the other hand, is actively doing what they needed to do. They're selling off units that they need to sell off. Right. They're focusing on clean energy. They're revamping, they revamped the C-suite. So that is, and hopefully that will start showing up in the share price. You know, GE has gone down precipitously. But with that, Exxon has an opportunity. Let's see if they take that opportunity to improve.
Does the market reward effort?
Effort meaning starting to make those changes?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I think you'll see. Because when you've got an activist investor involved to this extent, they're going to have to make some changes.
Right.
And now, I think the markets would respond.
Now CalSTRS is the California State Teachers Retirement System, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, pretty powerful group then.
Very powerful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about a company headed the other direction. Tesla, mm-hmm. of course, and we've been talking about them for a couple of weeks here. Way back when all the people that bet against Tesla, we call them short sellers. And as the Tesla prices currently are climbing higher and higher and higher, those short sellers have to rush back to buy the stock en masse. Are they creating a short squeeze, and are they raising Tesla's stock price even more?
All I can say is I can't imagine being a short seller with Tesla right now because of, just the fact they're about to enter the S&P 500. I would say that would be a very dangerous bet to be making. So I haven't looked at the numbers to see, where the short selling numbers are right now.
Right.
But I would bet that's going to slow way down right now.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the stock price, and it's down 2.5% right now, but it's still at $617. And that, of course, remember, was after the split. So, I would be, I don't know how you couldn't be more bullish on Tesla. I recognize at these prices, people go, wow, that sounds really expensive, right? But you've got to look at, it's about, are there more buyers than sellers at the end of the day
right.
on any stock?
So as I was preparing for this show all week long, I was looking at some companies that are doing the right thing. Companies that are, and again, I don't mean to blow smoke in your face, but your company navigates economic and market risk through a tactical investment philosophy and construction of core and satellite portfolios. Explain to me what that is and what you do.
Right. Thank you for mentioning that. We do. It's one of our core philosophies as far as really helping people navigate the risks that are out there. And, just this year is a perfect example of, the year starting out, what we expected was going to be a good year, and the global pandemic hit. And with that, just enormous amounts of fear, not knowing how long it was going to be. And this was a great example of a year where in the middle of the year, the S&P 500 was down 34%. And yet, look at where we are today with the S&P 500 in double-digit positive territory. So with that, we have to help people navigate that. And that includes looking at sectors, like what we do, we call sector rotation strategies, looking at where we want to overweight, underweight. How much do we put in large cap, mid cap, and small cap? In other words, capitalization of companies. How much do we put in fixed income, meaning bonds, and how much do we put in equities, meaning stocks, and then how much do we put in international versus domestic? All of those are decisions that we have to make, and we make them in alignment with our clients' risk tolerance, meaning their comfort level with volatility. And some people are more conservative, some people are more aggressive, and we tailor and personalize those portfolios for our clients based on their own risk tolerance.
Okay. Yeah, when I was reading about it, it was as if it was an out of body experience, and I didn't know you. I went, wow, this company's doing the right thing. This company's doing everything right.
Thank you.
But I want to talk about some of your year end strategies. But I did want to ask you this: Europe is currently threatening to break up big tech if it doesn't start playing by the rules. Is that a threat that they would take seriously if we did it here?
I think that is on the table, absolutely, here as well as Europe. But what we've seen with many things, you look at privacy policies, Europe was, very strict about that, U.S. kind of coming along that way. Same thing with this issue of technology and what's up with the tech companies. But I think the idea of both, monopolies, as well as the idea of Section 230, those are going to be big issues that Congress is going to continue to address.
Okay. All right. And now, yeah.
So I expect some of these companies may have to break up. At the end of the day, it may be like Ma Bell,
right.
You know. But look, those companies continued. So, you know, you look at a company like Facebook, and if you have some of that break off, each of those companies would probably do just fine.
Right. Right. And better, I'm guessing better for them to break them up themselves than to be forced to do it, right?
Right. And I think they are looking at that possibility. We'll see.
Okay. You are currently preparing some year-end strategies, fantastic year-end strategies for your clients. Tell us a little bit about what you got going.
Yeah, right now, a lot is around retirement plans and looking how business owners can still maximize contributions. And something that came out of the SECURE Act is that with some of these plans, whereas before we had to actually get the plan document written by December 31st of the given year, we actually don't even need to do that until the next year. So I want business owners to know that there's still time to implement different strategies to reduce taxable income for 2020. And with that, we're happy to talk to business owners about what those strategies look like. There are plans that allow for business owners to put away hundreds of thousands of dollars in retirement plans. So for those business owners that have that kind of cash flow, there are those kinds of plans available, and they can give us a call to find out more.
Excellent. How much time do they have, by the way, to do this?
Well, you know, they have a lot of time, but what we want to do is work with them now,
right,
with their CPAs to
right.
see what makes sense, because there are other things that may need to be done before the end of the year besides the plan document. For instance, making sure they have enough payroll that's been taken, and you can't go back and fix that.
Right.
So even though we have time for the plan document, the planning needs to happen now.
I like that. I like that. How do people get in touch with you, Laureen?
They can give us a call at 949-748-1177, or they can find us at wealthwisefinancial.com.
She is the winner of the 2020 Stevie Women in Business Award, the winner of the 2020 Silver Tongue Award, the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, and we are delighted that she's part of this program. Laureen Gilbert, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Ed. Talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.